B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Callahan Tunnel is closed today. Why? An over-height trailered backhoe.
You moron.
Someone bought it for Aaron Nesmith to have it delivered over to the garden.
Built some ponds.
It got wedged in the Callahan Tunnel this morning, which I'm sorry for laughing because I know there are people who probably had their morning ruined by this.
Probably missed flights.
Prompted a complaint.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Callahan Tunnel is closed today. Why? An over-height trailered backhoe.
You moron.
Someone bought it for Aaron Nesmith to have it delivered over to the garden.
Built some ponds.
It got wedged in the Callahan Tunnel this morning, which I'm sorry for laughing because I know there are people who probably had their morning ruined by this.
Probably missed flights.
Prompted a complete closure of the tunnel.
Oh. Look at the size of the backhoe, the picture of it. I mean,
I don't know if we have the picture. The state police put out a picture of it.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if we have that for the simul. Oh, yes, we do. I see it on our screen here in studio. Hardy, look at the size of that thing.
You think that's going to fit in there?
Yeah, I've got it up in here. It's.
What do you think the liquored up driver thought when he took a peek at that thing before he climbed in a cab and said, I'm going to tow that sucker through there?
Driver was ticketed.
I mean, it's not like it, you know, you could see it. You know, like some of the parking garages, like I've barely grazed the top of a couple of my SUVs in the past. When you hit that hanging, you know, that yellow bar that's usually in some of the parking garages, just a 6'6" entrance. Better be careful. You just skim it. That thing's not skimmed. I mean, there's a good, looks like 6-foot clearance that isn't going to make it. It's like 6-foot differential.
Yep. I mean, that's a full piece of equipment there, that excavator. Yeah, that's a big one.
But they got it out the same way they get a lot
crawler.
The way they get a lot of these things out. The methodology does not change. If it just gets wedged a little bit, what do you do?
Crisco.
Nope.
Oh, what?
Let the air out of the tires and back it out.
Like you're driving on a beach.
I mean, look at that. Woo. I just can't believe someone driving that truck thought, oh yeah, I'll be able to fit this through here. I mean, what were you thinking? Right? This is not the bridges over Storrow. because those are, you know, you can get on Sturrow and drive for a mile before you hit a bridge. This is, you're going down the ramp into the tunnel. How did you not see that that was a tunnel with low clearance?
Well,
how did you miss that? That's a tunnel.
I don't know about you guys. I myself have never driven a backhoe on a trailer, you know, hauled around a backhoe before.
Yeah.
But what do you do? Like, literally, when you load that thing up there, you presumably you know what the clearance is on your truck.
Yeah, tall.
Do you have to take a tape? You have to take a measure, as Zoe would say,
measure.
Up to the top of that backhoe?
Take a big old measure.
You take a measure and go down to the ground to find out what the clearance is? I would guess you would have to. Otherwise, how do you know?
How would you know?
And how do you get the right measurement? Because if you go from the top and then, look, you got to pull that thing off to the side. Well, you got to, we added some extra inches there by going off to the side. Do you eyeball it?
Feet. Not inches, feet. You're not like missing it by inches. You're missing it by multiple feet.
Well, you know how tall the dump truck is, though? Like,
yeah.
No
right.
Kidding. Look at the size
of
it.
The dump truck barely fits in.
Yes.
And the backhoe excavator is significantly taller.
Maybe he didn't know he had it on the back.
Maybe he forgot.
He forgot.
You ever forget something?
Yes.
This guy forgot. So they gave him a ticket.
The tunnel
ticket
is
for forgetting.
The tunnel was closed at about 10:30 this morning, but it has now been inspected and has been reopened. Yeah, the engineer came down from the Department of Transportation, gave it the all clear, right?
It's all clear now. Everything's fine.
People are saying it's not a backhoe, it's an excavator.
Oh, thanks.
Well, I'm sorry. I was reading the tweet from the state police.
I'm reading. Look, I read the same thing.
It is an excavator.
But all the people replying to it are like, I couldn't figure out how a backhoe would have gotten stuck. Excavator, totally different animal.
Talk to the police.
They're all diggers to me.
Yeah.
What do you do with that thing? Well, you either, you know, dig or you shovel. You dig.
You can drive a tractor. I can drive an excavator.
I want to see it. I want to see him do it. I want to see him make a pond.
With that?
Yeah.
Just wheel it right off. I'm telling you, get it over to the garden. What's that thing that we...
You know what?
If it's a different animal, though, when you're digging a pond. When he says, I used to get up at 6 in the morning to dig ponds. Or I'm going to get into a machine and control the thing that...
He brought up excavator, Jim.
He gets up at 6 in the morning to cut trees,
right?
Not to dig ponds. You don't dig a pond at 6 a.m.
What kind of machinery does he have to cut the trees?
What farm did you grow up on?
Jim, you don't dig until 9 o'clock.
Thank you, Zoe.
A lot of people offended that you guys didn't know about farm ponds, by the way. People sending in all sorts of stuff.
I know.
To who? Where?
I informed them.
I haven't seen
farm
one.
Farm ponds.
What do you think I said?
Yeah,
Zoe said it. It's Hardy that was blown away by it.
Retention ponds, dummies.
Yeah, you didn't know what
drainage,
it was either.
Water. Gotta water your crops. Feed the animals. Need water. Got water.
I'm not taking the blame for that. You two didn't know either.
Zoe said to feed the pigs.
Yeah, he said to feed the pigs.
Here's the other thing.
I don't think there are other livestock. Cows.
You could double check this. When you have a farm, there's like a special rule that you can do whatever you want with creating... Like storing water. You could basically store water, runoff, that otherwise you're not supposed to because you have a farm.
I can do that now. Who's going to stop me?
I think there are special rules on that front for farmers. Maybe I'm wrong.
I'll put some Pyrex we're not using out on the deck right now. I'll start collecting water.
It is Banner 18.
Is it against the law?
You get the two picks. It's going to help the Banner 18 thing. And I'm just saying, parade day, he should drive this right down Boylston. That'd be a sight. Paint that sucker green, man.
Yeah, but only if you're going to stop and dig stuff. What's the point?
Well, you could do it down by the common there. You got the little park there with the little swan boats. You could take another swan pond or frog pond, that thing they skate on. Is that what they call that, the frog pond?
Frog pond, yeah.
Yeah.
I just can't believe the guy drove this thing into that tunnel. That's a small tunnel, man.
He made a mistake.
You get claustrophobic in that tunnel.
It's like someone taking a sailboat right down, right in, rip the top right off.
So you've been in the Sumner and the Callahan, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Sumner was two ways when it opened.
Yeah.
You imagine screaming through that thing with traffic going in both directions?
No.
No, thank you. I'm good. I'm all set with that.
Imagine being the guy behind him heading in. You're just thinking, no! someone had to be behind him because, you know, he's holding up traffic.
Like, oh, look at this guy.
Look at this moron.
Look at this guy. He's going to hit the tunnel. And sure enough, he did.
He's three sheets to the wind. He's liquored up.
What are you, Hammond?
Oh, my God.
And then they promptly drove around him and got into that tunnel before they closed it.
Yeah.
Get the hell around this guy.
Yeah.
See ya.
At least he's on one side, not like dead down the middle.
Oh, you know what? There's another photo that someone just sent us. He was close.
Oh, yeah?
He was a lot closer than that other photo gives it credit
for.
Oh,
I will. You know what?
Thank you. Look at the.
Yeah,
look,
no,
look
I see it.
From Kevin Aldrich.
I see it. Still stupid, but not as stupid. Of course that wasn't going to
matter. I think you got a bad measurement on the excavator. That's all.
I don't know, Artie. Look at how high up on the concrete the marking is. Where it hit.
All I'm saying is, if they were able to get it out by deflating the tires of the trailer and backing it out, it wasn't that egregious. Yeah. It actually got in there. It just shouldn't have been.
Get in there.
Oh, the jokes, they write themselves.
Oh, sure please.
Do. They write themselves. What's that?
Oh, this whole segment.
Oh.
Fake promos are done.
Whole day. It's been a lot of those today. There have been quite a few.
Just remember, if you got to get it out of there, just lower the air in the tires. Okay.
That one down. That doesn't work.
Yeah. Now you're forcing it.
Yeah.
That is a big one.
Don't force it. Greg in Swansea on the truck in the tunnel. Greg.
Hey, what's up, guys? Listen, I've been driving truck for, over a quarter century, I'll put it that way. You are absolutely, as a driver, responsible for the height, the width, the weight of your load. This guy had to know. And not only that, any overhead structure, any, like, not just a bridge or a tunnel, even an overpass, anything under 15 feet is marked. And he must have seen it. It's on him. It's totally on the driver, guys. No doubt about it.
Let me ask you something, though. Seriously.
Yes, sir.
How do you get the measurement of the height of that thing?
Exactly like you said. You take a tape measure and you go up. If you're taller than 13 feet 6 inches, you got to be permitted for an overweight, overheight vehicle, oversized vehicle. And there's no way they're going to let an oversized vehicle go through the Callahan tunnel.
All right. Well.
They should get Taco Fall out there.
Was he calling us on the CB radio?
Yeah,
it may have been.
But driving a truck, quarter cent.
It's very, very concerned about it. It was taking responsibility for the size of that load.
Checking in on Channel 16. What is that?
That is a big load. Big one.
I'm surprised we have not been inundated with the truck driver calls this segment.
You should be calling.
I mean, typically we bring something like this up.
What is lunchtime? It's lunchtime.
We can't keep you away.
They could be sleeping in the back of their beds. No.
The height, the width, the weight of your load.
Yeah. All right. Now you're forced.
No, we weren't.
This one is.
How is that forcing?
With those laughs, enough.
I'm sorry you don't find it funny.
I don't think Zoe found it that funny either.
We found it very funny at the time when it happened. Time, playing yes. It a second right. go-around is a little much.
Let me ask you if any other truck driver has time to call in. Because I noticed this. Did you notice all the trucks out at Gillette on Sunday, Zoe?
I did not.
Out in the out where we parked there. Like just tons of trucks out there, and they're all running. Like, at what point can you shut the damn thing off? And it's actually makes more sense to turn the truck. The next truck I walk past that isn't running will be the first. Oh, my God. The Peterbilts and the Freightliners are always running. I can't turn it off. Why not? You have to turn it off at some point.
I don't want the battery to die.
It could be a
generator.
At the minimum, you're not...
Diesel. Harder engine to start.
You drop something off there for the football game. Yep. You have to wait out the football game. Then you have to drive the truck around. So let's call it a minimum 4 hours. Like, when do you turn it off?
Yeah.
They're all running out there.
That's keep good the heat question. Going.
I noticed that at truck stops too. They'd be running like they, and I think they leave the running lights underneath so nobody hits it, I guess.
Yeah, okay, for that.
But you hear it running like
right.
It's on.
Yeah, got to keep that battery charged.
Watch its flat screen in the back air, just hanging out, eating donuts, scratching himself.
I feel like Zoe could adjust to a life on the road.
I don't think in a confined space,
a nine foot by nine foot truck space. That'd be fun. Like, remember when Michael and Andy got on that bus and they were going down to Honduras? After Pam and Jim's christening, they lasted about a mile outside of Scranton. They're like, okay, how far is this bus ride? They're like, 24 hours, 2 days. Yeah, 48 hours.
Jerry Stackhouse will join us coming up next. He was the college coach of the top Celtics draft pick. Aaron Nesmith. We'll talk to him next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. It's he got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
With the 14th pick in the 2020 NBA draft, the Boston Celtics select Aaron Nesmith from Vanderbilt University.
Ball finds Nesmith, the shot fake, another three. Right away, good! Oh, my goodness! And just the waggle of the head.
Aaron Nesmith doing what he does best.
Kicks to the corner. Nesmith three. Yes!
There's Nesmith in the corner. Yeah!
Oh, the transition three is beautiful.
Three by Aaron. Yes!
That was in transition right there. Really nice play.
Nesmith three. Straight away, of course.
Aaron Nesmith, the top pick of the Celtics last night in the 2020 NBA draft. We go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline to welcome in a longtime NBA player, NBA All-Star, former very high draft pick, and now well into his coaching career, the head coach of the Vanderbilt Commodores and the college coach of Aaron Nesmith. It is Jerry Stackhouse who joins us now on Zolak and Bertrand. Coach, how are you?
I'm great, man. How you fellas doing?
Good. We appreciate you taking the time here and getting back to us so quickly. So what are we getting here in Aaron, up here in Boston?
Oh, man, you're getting a great kid first, but you know, getting a hell of a player. I mean, kid can really shoot the ball. I mean, he has the toughness. I just think it's a great fit for him. I just didn't picture Boston would be in the picture, you know, with them having such a good team already, playoff team. I wouldn't imagine that they would have a pick that high, but I guess – Danny's at it again, man, and found a way to get him a jewel, man. So I think you're going to really be happy with who he is, you know, as a player and as a coach. He's going to just continue to get better.
So in your mind, how NBA ready is this player?
Well, he's shooting the ball at NBA ready right now. I just think some of the things that, you know, he's going to be asked to do because he's going to a good team, a team that's already established. I think they're going to be able to fit him in. They have one of the best development systems in the game. You know, I played against the Maine Red Claws when I was coaching in the G League, so I know, you know, how they work their development and make sure those guys are getting games and coming back up, you know, going down and coming back up. So I'm really excited about that part of his development, knowing that it's going to continue from, you know, what we started to build here while he was in Nashville.
You look at the way, especially what Spoelstra and the Miami Heat did at the end of the year, and you know how those young kids were able to, you know, come in and into games, take over games, especially against the Celtics, who may have had a little more, you know, talent than some of these rookies had. But do you think he can make that type of impact where, you know, eventually through the course of the season, he's going to get more and more time, but to where he can pop you for 25 and, you know, in the blink of an eye?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you just look at the guys. I mean, this, you know, in this league, you know, those guys see that every night. You know, you look at some of those probably 12 or 13 kids from the SEC that got drafted last night. So, I mean, that's what these guys see every night. So it's not going to be any wow factor, you know, because he's, you know, in the NBA now. I think he's going to be excited, of course, but I think at the same time he knows that, you know, he's put the work in, and now it's a great opportunity for him to showcase it. He's, you know, got, you know, we didn't have him all season. He got an injury, so he's really itching to go. So, I mean, he's been away from actual playing for a while now, for it seems like probably about over a year. So I'm sure whenever they get started, you know, he's going to be really eager to show and prove. But at the same time, he's respectful. He knows he's coming into a situation that already has a talented roster and whatever is asked of him. He's just one of those kids that's going to do it. If he gets 25 minutes or if he gets 5 minutes, he's going to play his butt off the whole time.
And if you can score, you'll earn your playing time. I mean, if that's what you can do, you can shoot, you can score. Coaches want to put you in the game. What advice did you give him, having been a longtime NBA player and someone who's been through the process of transitioning from college to the pros, in terms of going through not only the draft, but now being in the NBA?
Well, I think, you know, the great thing about Aaron, he has a super support system. I mean, his mom and dad and his brother, they're like, and his coaches from high school, they're still really, really close. I think Chris Middleton is, you know, is one of his best friends. And so he has some reference, and obviously he has me, you know, if anything comes up that he needs a question about. But mostly, man, just to know that it's, you know, it's professionalism that we, again, that we try to preach, and accountability that we preach every day here. And now it's just at a level, at another level, to where you're getting, your livelihood depends on it. So I'm sure he takes that serious. He's no stranger to hard work. You know, you saw in the draft, but, you know, guys laid some bricks and mortar before. So, you know, basketball ain't going to be the toughest thing that he's ever done. But I really, really, really happy for him, man, because he's, not only a great player, but when he got hurt, he was still, you know, really in these guys' ears, great leader. So I think that over time, he's going to become a really good leader for that group as well.
So these stories are true about him. Okay, cutting down trees for 12 hours when he was in sixth grade. His dad used to wake him up. He had digging ponds, he said.
Yeah, man. Real stuff, real work. You know,
that's work.
I
yeah,
used to do those same things when you do those things. When you get to a basketball court, you're like, okay, I'm not trying to go cut trees with my dad today, so I'm gonna make sure this jumper is working good. So I think it inspired him in a lot of ways, but mostly just to show that you got to, you know, you got to put that sweat equity into it to get what you want out of it. And like I said, he's a kid that you go in the gym with him. You know, you plan to stay an hour and you stay an hour and a half. He's going to stay that hour and a half and still probably get some shots with 10 to 15 minutes before he leaves. So, I mean, I know they pride themselves, again, like, on their development system. And they got a guy that's is not afraid of the work. So, excited for him, super excited for him.
Right, and if the option is to go home and cut down trees or spend another hour in the gym, I'd spend another hour in the gym if I were
Absolutely.
So last night, I think Brad Stevens said that all the players they drafted, including Aaron, he called them gym rats, and it sounds like you're saying the same thing, gym rat in a good way, guy who just wants to continue to work and get better. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely, man. They had a great draft. I think Pritchard's pitched the bill of that same thing. It's guys that want to hang around and get better. You know, and just looking at the makeup of that team, I mean, I know those kids, Jason, Marcus and Jalen. I mean, it's just a great fit for him, the guys that he can learn from. But at the same time, you know, they better have their hand up because he's not missing them. So,
how about defending? Good defender? Brad likes both hands.
He was improving as a defender, man.
Okay.
Really, as the season went on, I think he's still going to continue to get better. I was saying along, he used to get beat middle a lot, you know, and it was a lot with just kind of his stance on his closeout, and we worked on it, and he started to get it improved. And then, like I said, he got hurt and missed the rest of the season. But again, you know, he's not a stranger to learning, not stranger to critiquing, you know. So, I mean, the good thing about him is he'll be coached. So whatever they try to tell him, whatever schemes that they got, he's going to be able to pick it up. So, but he does have some growth there. He does have some growth in his playmaking. Obviously, we wanted him to be on the receiving end of a lot of our sets. So he wasn't the one that we had facilitating, but he does have that ability. And I think he's going to showcase that a little bit more once he gets the opportunity.
We're talking to Vanderbilt head coach Jerry Stackhouse. Coach, not related to the draft last night or Aaron Nesmith, but the college basketball season. Obviously, all of sports still dealing with the pandemic, and I know college basketball has faced some major disruptions along the way. What's sort of your outlook right now for the season and playing it to a completion and all of that?
Man, we're excited to get going. Our guys are tired of beating up on each other. So we're supposed to start this Friday with Valpo here at home, and then we're playing in the tournament up in the Connecticut at the Mohegan Sun. So we're still moving, man. Obviously, the testings and protocols and all those things are a little tedious. You know, testing 3 times a week, but it's all about trying to keep our student athletes safe. And so, but you know, right now we're going to try to get these, I think, nine conference games scheduled, and then we're starting the SEC play on the 30th. So it's, you know, a little bit earlier this year, but I think it's, you know, starting earlier gives us some time just in case there's any type of setback that we have a couple weeks in there to try to maybe make up some games. So I think the conference, our administration here in the Vanderbilt, they're all, you know, kind of working in concert to try to make sure that we can get the season off. Can't go another season without the NCAA, man. So hopefully we're able to pull it off.
All right, Jerry, appreciate your time. Thanks for hopping on.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you guys.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
Jerry Stackhouse joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. All positive things to say about the Celtics top draft pick. Maybe the one thing there, it seemed honest. Good shooter. He's NBA level from a shooting and scoring perspective. The defense is what sort of lags behind.
Started playing better, he said. But, but instantaneously he can't score, but still needs to keep working on some things. So,
617-779-0985, the phone number for you.
Feels like the other kid, $5 haircut kid, Pritchard. He's like Hardy said, hit his ceiling. This kid at least seems like he's turning upward still.
Still trying to get better.
Still trying to get better.
What was the other thing that Aaron Nesmith cooked in his segment? Was there another cooking thing with him?
He's doing the
French toast.
Salad. Oh, some salad in between. Yeah, while the French toast is cooking, he showed you how he prepares a salad.
Do you have that?
You know what?
Yeah.
You know what? I like the salad. He used the same salad dressing I like.
I'd like to hear that. I'd like to hear how he makes the salad.
Sure.
We'll do that next.
Mm.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is. It's not as important as you think.
Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand at 138 here on the Sports Hub. Make sure you go to our website, 98.5thesportshub.com. If you missed the interview with Chase Winovich earlier today, it was a lot of things outside of football. It was sharks versus bears. It was giraffes versus moose. We had it all. It was horse-sized ducks or duck-sized horses. It's all of those things.
Yep.
Check it out, 98.5thesportshub.com. And please keep streaming us and telling your smart speaker to play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
How weird was the question he said he got asked as to how long he could stare at somebody?
At the combine.
Like dude, want to have a staring contest?
Depends what the guy was like. See, like, if you get one of them weirdos, and this guy's a freak, you know, or I have to stare off, how long can you stare at me? Like, what if it's Jack Easterby, you know?
What if it was like Dan Campbell?
Yeah, what's up, dude?
Hey,
how long can you stare at me?
You play some football.
Yeah.
He said he thought it was a scout, and he said I wasn't alone. Others got asked the same question. Like, they all left their home. Like, did you get asked?
Yeah.
stare at him?
I would say, what's the point?
Did anyone find that strange? Aaron Nesmith was the pick of the Celtics at 14 overall last night. We've heard about how he makes French toast. How about how he, does other things like make a salad?
And he mentions his breakfast in there, too.
Okay.
While that cooks, we're going to come over here, and I wanted to talk to you guys about my diet. So usually in the morning, I like to make an omelet, eat a couple bowls of fruit that includes strawberries, blueberries, cantaloupe, pineapples. You know, that's kind of like my little sweet treat in the morning. It helps get me going. But for lunch, to also keep it on the healthy side, I like to have a bowl of spinach with some sliced almonds. This is kind of like my go-to snack right here. Really
a question,
enjoy
almonds?
It.
Almonds. A question. What's an almond?
Never had an almond before.
That's how Billy Lanny says it, but he's saying it as a goof.
You know what? At least the kid, he's reading it as it's written. Then it says almond. Almond. Yes. The non-salted almonds.
Or the guy in the Snickers commercial, almonds.
Almonds.
You like almonds?
I like almonds.
With some sliced almonds.
That's a new one. Almonds.
I like some sliced almonds mayonnaise.
Almonds.
Almonds mayonnaise.
All right, then. Well, we've got that in there.
I like to have a bowl of spinach with some sliced almonds.
Yeah, everybody loves almonds.
My go-to.
Which, by the way, nobody likes that. I like to have a bowl of spinach with sliced almonds. No, you don't.
You know, I don't like
it. You're doing it because it's the right thing to do and good for you, but no one likes it.
Right. Nobody likes it. Same thing with the green beans. They put the really thin sliced almonds on it, and you kind of pick through it and eat just the green beans, leave the almonds there. We're going to say almonds from now on, aren't we?
Almonds.
This is kind of like my go-to snack right here. Really enjoy it. And I don't know if you guys have ever been to those Japanese restaurants, but they always give you that ginger salad, and that's like, it's like my weakness. I love this thing. So we're going to put a little bit of this on my salad, and we're going to get into that later. That's going to be real delicious.
I hate the ginger.
I love it. I love it. That little bowl they give you when you go to the hibachi place. Nope. Oh, my gosh.
No, thank you.
No, the kids don't like it either, and I get like five. I eat all the little salads. Like, give me them all. Stack them up right
nope.
here.
Nope. Right here. I do not care for it.
Love the ginger dressing.
Nope.
And he uses the exact same ginger dressing I have at home.
Oh, look
door.
At you.
Oh, you can't
That's
share.
What I saw.
Oh, dressing ball. Buddies.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know if there's many people that make the ginger dressing. It's pretty few. It's not a common dressing.
No.
It's not like, hey, give me
no,
ranch.
No, because it's awful.
Give me Italian.
I don't know that I've ever had it.
We've talked about this before.
I think I've ever had this.
Oh, you've never had the... Here's the salad everybody gets at the table in the Chinese restaurant or in the Japanese
you
restaurant.
You get the bowl of mushroom soup, you get some broth, and then you get the salad.
And then you get the salad. It's got the ginger dressing on it.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever had it.
What happened to the... Zoe, what happened to the French dressing? The French dressing was huge when we were kids.
French dressing, yeah.
Everybody loved the French dressing.
They had to go and F it up, tweak it, right?
Well, go find yourself some French dressing now. I'll wait here.
You can't because
you,
they
can't.
Would all, you go to even at the cafeteria at school, at the end of the salad line, you could either have Italian or French.
Not anymore.
There wasn't any ranch.
No.
They didn't even have ranch back
now
then.
Now it's ranch,
Italian or French.
Blue cheese, or you get Italian. Mm. Next time you see some French dressing out somewhere, let me know.
I'll buy it. I'll get you some if I find
it. No, I don't want it.
Oh.
I'm just saying, what happened? When did we all decide as a collective we weren't going to eat that anymore? I didn't die, but I wasn't asked.
Why don't you bring it back?
Not sure I want to.
When you start eating it again.
No, maybe I got
to. Start using it and then start making the case to others. Hey.
I don't really like it.
Start going to every restaurant you dine at and say, where's the French dressing?
T-Bone answered the question. I really didn't like it all that much, but it's all that we had.
That was your option. You had two options. Yeah. Deal with it, kid.
French dressing or dry?
Yeah. Ugh. All
right. So he likes a bowl of spinach and the sliced almonds.
I don't like the spinach is so much better without the.
I'm
almonds.
Not. Yeah, and I'm not a raw spinach guy. Either.
What do you mean?
I don't.
Oh,
like,
not raw.
I like it cooked. I love it cooked.
Well, I think that's why I put the dressing on and said I'm going to let this sit here all day and then I'm going to come back to it.
Oh, he didn't say he's going to come back. He said he's going to get after it.
I'd be fine if I never ate spinach. You know how I get the spinach intake? I throw it in a smoothie. I'll put it in there with some bananas, some almond butter.
That's
no,
weird.
We keep
weird
we keep frozen kale in the freezer for that.
No spinach pies?
No.
Ugh. That's just a Rhode Island thing.
What's a spinach?
Gross. What's a spinach
what the
pie?
Hell is a spinach pie?
It's kind of like a calzone, but just spinach inside.
Oh, wait a minute. They have it in a Caserta's.
And Chicago deep dish.
Caserta's got the gyms. They
have them everywhere.
It's Rhode Island thing. Yeah.
It's just
it's like
spinach.
You can do spinach. Some do spinach and olives. Some do spinach and cheese. Some do spinach, olives, and cheese. Some throw some pepperoni in there once in a while.
Interesting.
It's just stuffed to the gills with spinach.
It's Chicago deep dish. The classic has spinach in it, doesn't
it? It's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like spinach. I like cooked spinach. It's my, cream spinach is my favorite side at any restaurant.
But you like the cream. You like the butter. You like all the stuff that goes
pretty much
with it.
I just love butter and garlic spinach. I love just spinach. Yeah. Side of spinach. Cooked.
No, you see, you don't like it just on its own. That's my point. Like if you had to eat a plain baked potato,
it's an odd texture.
You could do it.
I could do it.
You could eat a plain baked potato. You can't eat plain cooked spinach. It's not good.
What would you rather have, plain baked potato or the spinach?
Oh, baked potato.
See, I'm with the spinach there.
All right, would you consider plain spinach hearty, like sautéed with olive oil?
No.
Well, no. You just said with.
So basically, cooked in water. That's it.
Yeah. What would you cook it in?
This coming from a guy that eats oatmeal.
I only eat it when it's forced on me.
Steamed spinach.
No steam. He's talking like raw.
No.
Giardi agrees with me. He tweets, spinach pie is outstanding.
What's that guy?
Really? Why don't you bring some in for us, Jim?
Yeah. Yeah? Yeah. Maybe I will.
Yeah.
Those bakeries open up like at 5 in the morning. You can grab some bakery.
I want to see what it's all about.
All right.
Quite frankly.
He might like it. I think you would like it.
Let's see what that's all about. I can't even really picture it.
When you first said spinach pie, I thought it was like in a form of a quiche. I know what he's talking about, the Rhode Island. He's talking about like a stuffy. No.
It's like a calzone. I don't know why they call it a spinach pie. Yeah, it's not
a pie. It's in dough. It's in dough.
It's wrapped in dough.
Right. Yeah. I thought it was like a pecan pie. Like that, spinach pie.
A couple of news items for you, by the way, in the NBA. Klay Thompson's going to be out for the year
for the year.
Again.
Jesus.
He tore his Achilles in a pickup game yesterday.
Oh, that's how Maz did his.
That's true.
Nah, Maz was semi-competition.
True.
Last year, ACL. This year, torn Achilles for Klay Thompson. Done for the year.
They said Maz went down like he was shot by a sniper from the upper deck in the arena.
That sucks. Yep. There's also this from Cal McNair, the CEO of the Texans.
Oh.
You ready for this quote? Ready for a good McNair quote?
Who do you fire now?
I talked to Adam Schefter today saying, quote, "Let me reiterate. Jack Easterby will not be our general manager, but he will have a significant role in helping shape our future here with the Texans. Easterby is going to be an incredibly valuable part of our franchise moving forward as he works with our next general manager and head coach."
This guy's got pictures on so many.
"I want to build something that our fans, players, and staff are proud of. It's okay to be under construction right now." Cal McNair.
Thanks, Cal.
Jack Easterby. Unbelievable.
Easter boy.
How did he pull this off?
Not a putt.
Huh. Oh, someone's sending us a picture of the spinach pies. It looks good.
Yeah.
It's not the one that Tom just pulled up with the flaky crust. It's not that.
He got offended when I suggested it.
Who got offended by what?
What do you mean? It looks like a calzone. It looks like a spinach calzone.
Okay, that's the right one then, yeah.
Okay.
I was thinking spinatacopia or whatever it's called.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Spinacopita.
Well, very. Ooh. Nice.
He snapped at me.
What about a baklava?
Very different, those two. Okay.
I can get a box of the red pizza, too, if you want.
What's the red pizza?
It's just pizza, like from Dave's Market.
Pizza strips.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be from Dave's Market.
There's no cheese on it. It's just red sauce on top of the pizza.
Well, what's the point of that?
It's good. It's like square pizza.
It's a Rhode Island thing.
No cheese?
No cheese.
No cheese.
No cheese.
Keep it then. I don't need that.
If you want, you can put Parmesan sprinkled on top.
Bring it in for me. Kids like it at home.
Do your own cheese?
You can finish it?
And sometimes they'll do it for you.
These guys don't get it, Jim. These guys don't get it.
You know what I'll bring in? The little delicacy of hot dog buns.
You know what that's called?
It's a bun. If you want the hot dog, you can put that on yourself.
What are you talking about? He just described breadsticks with a jar of sauce dumped on them.
Jim, why don't you bring in some cereal tomorrow without the milk?
People are passionate about spinach pies.
What the hell is that?
It's good. It's snack. It's snack. You leave it out. You don't cook it.
We've got takeaways, right? We had plenty of material today.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you cook.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaway.
HOAs with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, today's takeaway is brought to you by our good friends at Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Who's excited to see Beetle, who's been dropping the weight, improve his health with Awaken 180. Make your own 180 at any Awaken 180 location or check them out online at awaken180weightloss.com. Chase Winovich.
Chase Winovich today.
Yeah.
Sorry, turned that off. My mistake. Chase Winovich today talked both ducks and horses and bears and sharks. We start with the ducks and horses, correct?
So I thought about this one at length as well.
Of course you did.
You know, this is one of life's great questions, I'd say. And I came to the conclusion that I'm going to fight the horses for sure. I mean, the thing is, like, you're going to get tired. And I'm not sure, like, the proper technique in terms of, like, kicking that many horses or punching them. I don't know, you know, exactly how you do it. Maybe a couple forearm shivers, a couple elbows. But, you know, if you think about how big a duck, if you've ever seen a duck kind of angry,
oh, yeah,
and it's just flapping around and flailing, like, I don't know, man. And if you think about the proportions of its limbs,
yeah,
if it was as big as a horse, like, I don't know.
Think about the duck bill. Think how big, and hard that duck bill would be on that big duck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's like, it's just kind of awkward because it's like, if you, I don't know, you go for one leg, its leg's so skinny that you miss it. Like, I guess you can get close to it. Its beak might not be as effective. It might be kind of neutralized, but man, that's going to be, it's going to be a battle.
And the smell alone, I think, from a horse-sized duck, you know, it's been in the water, who knows what it's been eating? That's enough to throw you off, too.
Do you think, with it being that big, if it was one-legged, would it just swim in a circle?
That question. I don't know. What about now? Regular duck-sized
duck. I'd like to think we speak Chase Winovich. I was not speaking his language on that last one.
No.
I'm not sure what he was going for.
We also asked him the age-old question of, would you rather take on a bear or a shark?
Yeah.
You are in a struggle for your life in the water against a shark or on the land against a bear. Which would you rather struggle for? Which fight will you accept?
Is there anybody here that's arguing that they'd rather fight a shark?
Yes.
And what kind of shark are we dealing with?
The great white, the apex predator.
Yeah, great white versus a grizzly.
We're dealing with the apex predator and...
I mean, a bear.
Exactly. I would do a bear in a heartbeat because, like, think about it. Like, who is it? Mike Tyson? It's like everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the face. Like, you're out there swimming and you get attacked by a giant great white shark, like, out of the blue. I mean, those things, they jump 10 feet in the air, swallow seals whole.
I call that breaching.
You know, like, you could say, oh, I'm going to do this, but then your leg's missing. Like you
right.
can gouge its eyes out all you want, but... I mean, if that thing has its eyes set on you and it's properly motivated, which, you know, under this scenario, I assume it would be. I think sharks are kind of friendly creatures. I think they're getting a bad rap. I've thought about that for a while.
That bear knows exactly what it's doing. You want to talk about motivation and go watch The Revenant over the weekend. Maybe watch it on the plane out to Houston.
Yeah.
See if you don't change your mind on that. That bear has its way with Leonardo DiCaprio,
sure,
if you know what I'm
Listen,
saying.
Listen, if Leonardo DiCaprio could kill a bear, I could easily take care of it.
Wow.
Wow. Chase Winovich. Unbelievable.
Different dude.
By the way, thanks to Patrick, who sent along a story today about an unusual shark sighting on the Cape that was caught on camera earlier this month in East Ham. Yeah.
What, they're still there? Or
they saw a blue shark. The species is common off the coast of Massachusetts in summer and fall,
yeah,
but is usually found in offshore habitats. This was seen swimming in a marsh.
Oh.
Oh, nice.
Oh.
Once kids playing and, like, kind of catch guppies and stuff. Minnows.
Yeah.
A little marsh minnow.
And there's video. She took a video of it.
What he said, why don't you retweet that?
Skomel, by the way, has viewed the video.
I'm sure you had on
and
it.
He concurs it is a blue shark.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. Now we could really say
now we're getting into Matawan Creek territory. They're going to start going 5-6 miles upstream. Fresh
water. Are
you
doing spinach pie and red pizza tomorrow, or are we doing that next week? Thanksgiving, day before Thanksgiving.
Day
maybe?
Before Thanksgiving.
All right, next week it is.
Yeah, I'll bring the coffee milk.
Next week. Felger Mass next.
See you guys. I do a bear.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
In Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger Maserati. Thursday, November 19th, here from our Town Fair Tire Studios. We broadcast on 98.5 The Sports Hub on the FM dial in Boston. We simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Presented to you by DraftKings in both formats. Catch us anytime online, 98.5thesportshub.com or the app. Download it to your smartphone. It's a tremendous product. You can catch us live or on the replays. Murray and Maz alongside. How you guys doing?
Good, you?
Hello.
Hello, Ann Peachy. Thoughts about last night in the Boston Celtics?
Spank me. Kick me. Beat me. Because I'm a sucker and a fool. Really. I deserve to be punished. I do. I deserve. I went in thinking there's no way they take all these picks, which they didn't. They took three. They took three out of the four. Spank me. Beat me. I am a sucker and a fool. I deserve to be punished. You were right, Murray. You were right.
Yeah, that's all I got to say. Told you.
You were right, Murray. You were right.
I don't know why anyone expected anything different. I mean, sure, they didn't use all three because technically they can't because, you know, you're going to have to do this roster shuffle here. But I don't know how anyone could be surprised by that last night.
I mean, really, to me, I'm so frustrated. And look, on the one hand, I'll tell you, to me, there were two areas of need on the team. One is a big man. One is a shooter.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.